Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
It's great to have Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, with us, professor of political science and an all-around great guy. Okay, I'm going to name some names. You come back and tell me what you know about them. Bernie Sanders.
Independent senator from Vermont, still weighing a presidential bid on the Democratic side, more as a conscience of the progressive wing of the party than anything else, but could shake things up, could push Hillary Clinton a little closer to the left through his discourse. It would be an interesting candidacy to watch, that's for sure.
Would he be the heir to any of the dissatisfied people who voted against Hillary the first time?
I think so. He would be sort of the id for the Democratic Party. He would be the one to press Hillary Clinton on ties to Wall Street, on middle-class issues, on income inequality. And it would actually be good for Hillary Clinton's candidacy to have her out there forging her positions, defending her positions. And so it would be a fascinating set of exchanges to watch if Bernie Sanders got into the race.
Don't you think intuitively, I certainly do, that Bernie Sanders is one of those non-prostitutional senators or politicians who really means what he says?
I do. I mean, when you hear him speak, whether it's in media interviews or in public settings, he doesn't pull his punches, and he doesn't try to couch his arguments in diplomatic phrases. He says what he means. He comes from a very secure position in terms of his own Senate seat, and he's at a point in his career where he's really got nothing to lose when it comes to speaking his mind, and so he does.
But he's always done it. It's nothing new, right? I mean,
oh,
I think
that's true. Oh, yeah. If you go back to his days as mayor of Burlington or as a member of the House of Representatives, what you see is what you get, and that comes from having a secure political base and a confidence that you can speak your mind.
Yeah, but I love the idea that here's a guy with a Brooklyn accent in Vermont who wins overwhelmingly and who is beloved. And that I attribute, for whatever it's worth, to the idea that people just want to hear some honesty for a change.
I think that's true. I think that it's there is a hunger out there for just simple, direct language, straight talk, no beating around the bush. Just say what you mean what you say. And on both sides of the political spectrum, the most polarizing figures also seem to be the ones who simply speak their mind. And, and love them or hate them, that resonates with voters, and so those individuals remain part of the public conversation.
As you have mentioned before, 73-year-old Joe Biden, that's the next topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so Joe Biden has occupied an interesting space in the public sphere recently. One needs only look to his reaction to a letter that 47 Republican senators had sent to Iran, saying, "We want you to know, as you engage in negotiations with President Obama on a possible deal in terms of nuclear production, that this deal could only last for the remainder of this presidency, so keep that in mind." Well, Joe Biden just found that astonishing, and as he said, beneath the institution, the dignity of the institution that he has served and come to love over the years, meaning the Senate. And so he didn't hold back, went out there, guns blazing, to offer criticism for what I think a lot of people who watch diplomacy see as a fairly unprecedented move, that the opposing party would try to undermine the sitting president while engaged in very complicated multilateral diplomatic talks with Iran. So Biden is someone who doesn't hold back. Now, does that mean he's also looking ahead and trying to lay the groundwork for some kind of presidential run? If you survey the media, there's not a lot of consensus on that. Biden gets around. He's been to Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina recently, but he's got some issues. He's got his age. He's also got the challenge of being a sitting vice president after coming at the end of an 8-year run, and that's a very difficult position from which to run. There, however, voters may view President Obama, even among his supporters, there may be some fatigue going into 2016. And trying to run for a third term, such as it is, as the sitting vice president going for the presidency, that's a tough hurdle for any sitting vice president, and Joe Biden would be no exception.
You know, you are a terrific pollster, but to me, what always counts is whether people are liked or not. Now, speaking for myself and nothing else, I like Joe Biden a lot. I've interviewed Hillary a couple of times. I think she's obviously the Democrats' best hope as of now. But I don't like her as much as I like Joe Biden. Everything else aside, Tim Versalotti, how can you measure how much people like people?
Well, I think you can through favorability ratings, no question. And if you ran focus groups, you could as well. And Joe Biden is likable in the way that he is unvarnished. For someone who's been in public life as long as he has been, he does make mistakes and he shrugs his shoulders and moves on. And he does have that way of connecting with people, not just on an intellectual, but on an emotional level. He's got a warmth about him that seems authentic, that doesn't seem put on. And that is an area where Hillary Clinton has to do some work. Now, let's think back to 2008, though, where Hillary Clinton made some progress in that area, really connecting with white working-class Democrats in primary states like Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Ohio, where she ran circles around Barack Obama. We haven't seen that sort of shot in the beer Hillary recently, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that persona emerge early on once she declares her intentions for the presidency.
Okay, so we only have 2 minutes. John Boehner.
John Boehner is such, he's almost Shakespearean in his dealings and doings and in his precarious position as Speaker of the House of Representatives. Who could have had a week like John Boehner in the first week of March? Here he invites Benjamin Netanyahu to address a joint session of Congress, causes all sorts of consternation on the Democratic side, but just thrills the base, in particular the evangelical Christian base, which has a very focused view of Israel as a place that needs to be preserved as secure and safe. And so he excites the base with that move, at the same time really ticking them off by allowing a bill to go forward, a clean bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security through September, without any mention of overturning President Obama's executive actions on immigration. Immigration and Homeland Security funding had been linked by the Republicans last fall.
But he's a pragmatist, right? I mean, he has to be seen as a pragmatist. He knew he couldn't get
right.
that.
He knew he couldn't get that, and he knew that a shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security would have been disastrous.
Sure.
As a critic pointed out, ISIS is fully funded. Yeah. How do you argue against that when you're talking about Homeland Security funding? So he had to let the clean bill go through, and yet he survives, he continues to be Speaker, he walks that tightrope, and it's because of things like the invitation to Netanyahu, which so excited the evangelical Christian base, and it kept those folks in his corner, even though things fell apart on the Homeland Security and immigration deal, so to speak.
That's very interesting. We loved having Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, with us. Tim, you're amazing. And if I could just say so, Western New England University is very lucky to have you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that, Alan. I appreciate that.